the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is one of those parables in our church that have endless interpretations and nuances in what's being presented to us. But the message is quite clear that as we're preparing for Great Lent, one of the things the church wants us to remember is our final day on this earth. When we depart from this planet, we'll be in the thrones of God and at the throne of his judgment seat. And so the church doesn't want us to forget that, and has actually built into so many aspects of liturgy this remembrance of our death and to being prepared for it. In fact, our whole life is really nothing other than a preparation for the kingdom of God to come. And so as we look at this parable, we're trying to understand how God's judgment works. There's a lot there. But I want to start with what's not there. What's not there is the righteous, those who have absolutely sinless lives, being praised. And it's what also is absent are the enumeration of the crimes of sinners. It's not there either. But what's there is this identification of Christ with the least of these. That they're the sheep, the blessed sheep, who have this character of being humble, docile, obedient, are somehow aware of the least of these. And in some ways they aren't even, we'll get to that. And then the goats, the kind of rebellious, wild ones, independent, are shocked that they didn't understand who the least of these were either. And so one way we can really look at this is, well, and ask that question, what was it amongst those sheep that they knew to do the good to God? And what prevented the others from not being able to do that? And one way to look at the least of these is to really start with us. We are the least of these in many ways. And at some point in our life, we were thirsting for something more. We were thirsting for God. And because we turned that thirst towards him, somehow we met him in our life. And when we meet the Lord, what he does is he clothes us. He puts his garment on us and adopts us as his children. And by doing that, he sets us free from the prisons of sin and addiction and slavery. He frees us from that. And he then can heal the woundedness that we all are born with, that no one's exempt from. And we're no longer strangers, but we become friends of the Lord. And if we think of that ourselves in that way, and whether or not we've experienced any of that or not, this is the love of God the Father for all of us. And if this is the love of God, that he sees us and indeed rescues us from death and sin, what must it feel like for God when we reject his love? When we say, no, I don't need that in my life. I'm fine on my own. I don't need you. Well, God never stops. His is unconditional. Despite our rejection of his love, it's constant upon us. And so there's a common theme here, I think, in the last three Sundays, of something about what it takes to meet God and to satisfy that thirst. And that is humility. It's the tax collector who had an awareness of his sins. And it was the prodigal son in that critical moment where he comes to himself. That's a moment of humility, that he realizes in that moment he's nothing without his father. He needs his father's life so that he can have life. And so the character of the sheep is that. Christ says, when I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was sick in prison, and you came to me. And they said, well, when did we see you that way? How are you going to understand that? What do you mean? We didn't realize what we were doing? One answer is, they were so humble, they were just doing the good because that's what you do. And that any good that you do is actually God's doing, not our doing. They were just being loving people as their father is loving, unconditionally loving people. So they knew the Father. They had an awareness of an experience of God in their life. And so they ministered to him. And that teaching is so powerful for us, that when we love other people, we are loving Christ. When we're loving Christ, we're loving all people. That equation cannot be altered. There's no exceptions to that equation. And so Christ makes it so clear that he identifies as the least of these, as the father of the least of all of us. And the goats, well, they also are surprised. Well, when didn't we see you naked and didn't help you and didn't visit you and didn't welcome you? When didn't we do that? What's that saying? That's saying that they were so caught up in themselves, in their ego, they couldn't see beyond themselves. And they certainly didn't have any attachment or an alignment with the love of God. And so, at the end of our life, when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the question is going to be whether or not we have the heart of our Father in heaven, and whether or not we acted on that. And yes, our sins are an important thing to deal with. And so Great Lent is a time for us to rekindle that thirst for God, and to understand that the only way we're going to be saved, you know, we have these examples. The most righteous, sinless person would still not make it into heaven if they don't love God. It's not enough to be sinless. And so the church says at the end, it's only going to be God's mercy that opens the door to us into his kingdom. And repentance is the way of salvation for us. And Lent is like going back into that school of repentance, that we, being humans and living in the world and have all these obligations and responsibilities, we tend to not remember. And the church is just helping us remember that and inviting us to do everything we can. And boy, it's way beyond just... Now we have the Aris Foundation Tuesday night in your little bulletin. You can go down to Tempe and feed the poor, 4:30 in the afternoon. If you have any questions, ask Catherine. She's over there. But are we feeding the poor in spirit, in Christ? Are we being a light to people? St. Paul also makes that. I'll finish with this. He says, you know, if we sin and wound someone's weak conscience, we've not just... causing them to stumble because of our behavior, even though our behavior might not really be intentionally bad, but someone may perceive it as bad. We're sinning against Christ. So how we interact with everyone becomes a moment of judgment for us. And we're called to understand, I am the least of these. Christ comes as the father of the least of these. And I'm here to serve the least of these. And that's the love of the Father that's been poured into our hearts, that has rescued us from death and sin, and has granted us life in his kingdom and life in our Lord. So let us love one another more. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us.
Our shall it be in that our friend be for day when the